You're tuned in to the Health After 30 podcast. And if you're doing all the right things externally, but you're not seeing the results, then it might be time that we start recognizing the power of the mind and how unique hypnotic therapy can help us break through barriers and create real personal growth. Hey, I'm Alana Bonneman, naturopath and holistic nutritionist. This podcast is dedicated to reclaiming your health by harnessing yourself as your biggest asset. Get ready, because this is where we stand up for your body's ability to heal, go against outdated norms, and say yes to change, creating true and lasting success, all from the inside out. Thank you so much for being here. This is the Health After 30 podcast, and let's get started. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode on the Health After 30. It's Alana Bonneman with you, and today I am joined with Dr. Glauberman, a Manhattan psychotherapist focusing on stress management and behavioral change, anxiety, and mood disorders. I say behavioral change like that because his work is focused around the behavioral ecosystem. So it's not just eating and moving and sleeping and what we do in the day-to-day, but he uses a psycho-educational approach to relearning, rebuilding, and maintaining harmony from within. With over 40 years working on this topic, he has brought his own method about called hypno-peripheral processing. It's an audio technology that combines stress management and behavioral change. And he has a really unique way of doing this. It's through storytelling. It's basically like fairy tales for adults. And in this way, he helps not only to get us into the stories, everyone loves a good story, but at the same time, he starts to rewire, rebuild, and reprogram what's going on in our subconscious. Fascinating topic. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. I really enjoyed talking with Lloyd. I enjoyed what he's about and everything that his work involves. I hope you also enjoy it just as much, and you also see some positive change after listening to the episode. If you enjoyed this episode or any other, feel free to do all the things. Leave a review or a rating wherever you listen. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Alana Bonneman, and let's get into today's episode. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Health After 30 podcast. Today, I have Lloyd Glauberman on the show with me. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
I am really interested in what we're going to talk about today. I was going to say why, but first, can you tell us what we're going to learn today?
Well, you're going to hear me talking about things that are talked about a lot. So it's going to be a contradiction. It's going to be the same, but different, because perception is really important. And if you can get a different angle on an old concept that's been around and around and around, then people go, oh, I didn't think of it that way. And that's a good starting point for people to pay more attention to other things that you're saying, so you can begin to build a model of understanding about what I believe is important, and maybe be able to influence them in ways they hadn't thought about before.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I feel like when you strip that back, it could also be like people know that sleeping's good. We should sleep. But then you hear it at the right place at the right time. Why? You need, and how it serves you. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, then the light bulbs happen.
Yeah.
So we're going to go into, I want to say hypnosis, mm-hmm, but it's so much more than that. Can you first perhaps introduce us to what hypnosis is, and then we'll go into what your specific type is?
Hypnosis is one of those things that has many different looks and connotations. And most people think about it as this very powerful kind of mind control, because for most people, their only understanding of it is stage hypnosis, which is just that. It's theater. Somebody sits there and presumably goes into a place that they don't know where they are. They're told to fly like a duck or something like that. And that's actually, we're in and out of trance states all the time. For instance, have you ever had the experience of sitting and daydreaming and you're all involved in your head. And then suddenly you realize that somebody's been trying to get your attention and has actually called your name three times and you didn't hear it.
Yeah.
You were in literally a deep trance state where you were completely removed from the world and until you suddenly weren't. But people don't consider that hypnosis. That was just daydreaming and I wasn't paying attention. Mm. It's the same thing, but in a therapeutic context where you get people so they're not paying attention, which is what you really want, mm. right? Then you can introduce things that they can hear, not consciously process, and have those things impact them in a positive way later on. Mm. Most, right? It's people who just think, well, I'm taking over your mind. No, your mind is doing what it can do really well. We don't appreciate our brains very much. They're miraculous. They are the universe recreated, and it's inside our skull, right? When they begin to appreciate what their brain is capable of doing, then they can appreciate themselves more.
Absolutely.
But hypnosis is much more everyday than people realize. But in the context of therapy, if you can get people not to pay attention to what you're saying because you get them a little confused and they're relaxed and the next thing they're drifting off. And you can see that when you're working with somebody, that they are gone, but not gone. Mm. They're floating in that space in between waking and sleep, which is magical.
Okay.
People don't appreciate the hypnagogic state. Anyway, hypnosis, when it's done well by a practitioner who knows what they're doing, introduces little bits and pieces of stuff all the way along and people don't realize it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So they realize that, and the hypnotic suggestion is you're going to begin to lose weight. I mean, that's not, you know, some people think that's, well, I'm in hypnosis, they're going to tell me what I'm supposed to do. No. It's much more subtle than that for people who know what they're doing.
Okay, because as you said, the mind is a powerful thing, highly underestimated. And also kind of what I'm getting is perhaps while the therapist puts input in, it's actually the self who's probably doing the work.
Oh, absolutely. It is. Trust your brain to hear everything that's going on and utilize it.
Yeah. Oh, hearing everything that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get into that. I really like this. But you've done this work now for over 30 years. It is,
what?
It's your life. It's
over, almost, yeah. Almost 40 years.
Almost 40 years. So right. Let's consider it your life work. So you know a thing or two. You've formulated your own method of doing this. So how is that different from, or how do you harness, I guess, the mind and get people into the state? And then how do you perhaps help them, heal them?
Well, there are two things that I do. One is when I'm working with somebody live, right, who is in my office and we're working together. And then there's the audio material that I've done, which is a completely separate structure. But my job when I'm working with somebody in the office is to obviously get them into a trance state, which is basically by speaking in a way that allows relaxation to occur and introduce suggestions that are very, let's say, open-ended.
Mm.
Right? So if you say to somebody, and there's something really important in your life going on, and in the back of your mind, you probably know some of the things you might want to do to improve that particular situation. But right now, as you relax even more, we'll allow your unconscious mind to begin to explore what I just said and allow that change to begin to occur as you rest comfortably in the chair where you are right now. Perhaps as people listen to what I just did, they went into a slightly different state of where they were prior to, which is little to no movement, listening very carefully, a little bit more comfort. That's the beginning of putting somebody in a state that allows them to begin to explore. Everybody knows underneath it what's most important, what the changes are they need to make, what has happened in the past they need to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say there's something really important that occurred a while back that right now you can do something about, you can heal in ways you hadn't thought about before. Keep it open-ended, allow them to choose what it is, and then everything tends to come together in ways that are really useful. Does it work every time? Obviously not. Nothing does. But most of the time, you can get some interesting things that happen. And then everybody feels good.
One word that stuck with me when you said then is what they do, you know, like that kind of really, and it puts you in the present. Like, yeah, what do you have to do? And maybe a different word actually vibrates with different people, but that word for me sat with me. And so in essence, you're also saying, because it's people doing their own work, and as you said, they know what they need to do.
Absolutely.
And oftentimes it's, I was going to say scary, but oftentimes we don't want to do the things because perhaps of trauma, of pain, of past experiences that keep rising up. So being in this relaxed, trance, hypnotic state, how does that work on the body? Like what's happening there in the body to allow people to perhaps tap in to those filing cabinets that they've packed back?
As your mind begins to drift off into places, everybody begins to relax. That's just automatic, right? You can see as your breathing slows down, immediately, if it hadn't, it is going to be slowing down now, right? And when that happens, the lower part of your body begins to relax as well. And after a while, you'll notice that people, when they're in a comfortable recliner kind of chair, which is what I have in my office, they're not moving. And that's an indication that everything is lining up so that both physically as well as psychologically, they are in the space they need to be in so that all the noise, everyday noise is cleared out.
Yeah.
And now there is possibility.
Mm.
That's the opening for introducing ideas and ways to go about doing this sort of thing and indirect suggestions for, and don't be surprised if certain things happen, whatever. All the kinds of things that leave it up to them to make the choices.
Yeah.
Heavy-handed hypnosis is creepy.
You said that people have really busy lives. And this is, I mean, you know, the world is turbulent at the moment. Stressful lives. Stress management is something that you work really intimately with, right? You help people with stress management. Other than, I guess, stress reduction, what are some other positive outcomes that people get from this type of work?
Well, if you find yourself making a change, like suddenly you're experiencing something differently when before you weren't very assertive, and now you found yourself behaving assertively, right? Suddenly you realize, number one, you can now do what you didn't, that you couldn't do before, but now the whole concept of change is available to you. If I can do this, what else am I capable of doing? So one little change in your experience allows for the whole category, the whole bag of possibilities inside of you to begin to become available to you so you can do lots of different things. That's the best case scenario. But it makes sense, right? Once you're in motion, you know, body in motion tends to stay in motion. Well, psychologically, that's the same path.
Mm-hmm.
So you look for getting people to move a little bit of a change, a little bit more relaxation in their life. And then, okay, you also have to let them know that nothing is a straight line. This is a really important concept. And that is, life is not about doing it right all the time. It's about most of the time. And usually change is 3 steps forward, a step and a half back.
Mm.
You have to make that a reality, that that's supposed to happen. Because that way, if people think change is a straight line, it's inevitable that there'll be some bumps, that there'll be some falling back. But if you find yourself being able to recover from those, then you're even stronger than you were before. Now you know.
Yes.
You've really changed because you weren't able to do that. If we weren't able to do what we started out with and you weren't able to handle what happens when it fell apart.
Yeah.
Now you got both of those territories covered.
Yes.
That's what true change is. Everybody is the same. I know that from my own experience.
That's good. That's really good to know, actually, that every human, that's normal, that experience. And so it's firstly managing expectations, that it's not linear.
Failure allows for resilience to be built. And there's nothing more important than resilience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that failure and that resilience, as you said, makes that turnaround time.
Mm-hmm.
What used to probably take a few days and processing and this and that, the sooner you can realize it, understand what's happening, and that turnaround to then continue to make progress becomes a bit more streamlined, perhaps.
Absolutely. And everybody has, most people can do way more. I said everybody. And that typically is close to be able to do more than they think they can do. Yeah. And that's, for listeners, that's a good thing to hear. You really are capable of more than you realize. And this is a time for you, as you listen right now, to start thinking about your lives that way.
Yes, get into our brains, allow us to change.
Yeah.
One of the important things that you work with, and you said it before, that we work with is our minds and what we're saying, our words. So how important is what we say, or the inner dialogue that's happening?
What you brought up maybe is the most important thing that there is, that what goes on in people's heads. Because what goes on in people's heads, because it's occurring virtually all the time, tends to go unnoticed. It's cognitive wallpaper. It's always there. We're always talking to ourselves. As we have found out when we were, while we're sitting with our phones and realize these conversations used to be just in our head, but now we can actually do it in real time. People are always talking to themselves in there. And most of the time, they don't know what, they're not paying attention. And what they're not paying attention to sometimes, obviously, will influence what they're experiencing, what they're doing without them knowing it. And then something will happen. How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Right? People talk to themselves more than they realize. I mean, I remember, this goes back decades, I remember being really angry in my head, talking to somebody in my head. And simultaneously eating. I was chewing on something. And the next thing I knew, I got something caught in my throat. Okay, how many times have all of us had that kind of thing happen? Right? It's universal. It's one of those behaviors that everybody does every so often. So I say, well, that's interesting. And then I said to myself, I wonder whether me talking in my head had something to do with the food getting caught in my throat. Then I put that on the side because I said, okay, well, maybe. And then the next time it happened, I realized I was talking in my head again. And then it dawned on me. While we're talking in our head, we mimic the breathing we would be doing if we were saying the same words out loud.
Yes.
Right? I started looking around because I said to myself, wow, this must be all over the place. People have done research. No. I have yet to hear this from anybody, but my wife and myself talk about this all the time. And whenever it happens to one of us, the other says, who are you talking to? Now, if anybody was watching from the outside, they'd think we were crazy because there was no conversation taking place. But we each know what that is. Think about that. That happens universally to all of us. And by the way, it's one of the hardest things to change because, as we were talking about before, we are always talking in our heads, whether it's self-criticism or other stuff that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what that those conversations are essential to improving the quality of your life.
Is it negative self-talk? Is it positive self-talk?
There you go.
I read something the other day, I think it was by Eckhart Tolle, and he was kind of saying, you know, most people who get into a car accident, I mean, he didn't say it like you said it, but you could kind of paraphrase it, have that negative, angry self-talk, and they get into this accident. And he's like, I'll prove it to you. If you think about anyone who has road rage, it's like they're normally fine, but then something happens which perhaps triggers them, a thought or someone doing something where they feel, hey, they shouldn't have cut me off, gets that aggression.
What you brought up is so important because independent of being in a rage state, anytime you're listening to something, somebody's telling a story, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do? You're not only hearing it, but you're visualizing what they're saying, which means that there's a part of you that's not paying attention to external reality because you're watching the screen in your head. Now, you could be driving, but if something very quick has to happen, you don't have all of your visual resources available at that moment in time if you're totally absorbed in somebody's story. Right. But it's critically important to know this, how much self-talk goes on, how much visualizing goes on. Yeah.
It's everything. And then it's also, as I said, positive or negative. And that's then going to make the butterfly effect. But let's talk about stories for a second. Would you classify yourself a storyteller, or is it more therapy?
That's a storytelling concept. So yeah. I like to think of myself that way, a therapeutic storyteller.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the whole thing is built for the idea of impacting you in positive ways. Entire sector of my life occurred because I attended a hypnosis workshop. And I had no idea that during the workshop, they were going to introduce something called the double induction, meaning two hypnotists were working with one client. I never heard of this before. It looked like it was more stage hypnosis, because how often are you going to be working with a colleague to duly hypnotize somebody? But while I was listening and watching to what was happening, while this was being presented, I found myself going into a trance state. The overload of, I couldn't follow everything. And I said to myself afterwards, now that's interesting. And then the first thing that popped in my head after that was, maybe you can do this on cassette. By the way, this was in the 80s. So this was cassette tape time.
Yeah.
I said, maybe you can come up with a way to utilize this. So I bought myself a little recording device, and I began to think about what kind of stories would fit here. And naturally, the first couple of times I did this, not that good. But over time, I figured out how to do this, how to use Joseph Campbell's myth of the hero as the story framework. Mm-hmm. The person with a problem goes into the world, engages a magical character or a powerful person who impacts them, and they come back a changed person. Who doesn't like that stuff?
Hero's journey, yeah.
So, and then slowly over time, an accident happened that told me how to actually place the messages in such a way that they would have the maximum impact. It was an accident. By chance, I did something. And while I was reviewing something that I recorded, I went to myself. And from that moment on, I had something that turned out to be really good. I mean, I didn't know how to write storytelling. I didn't have any experience doing anything other than, but now I knew I had something that was useful.
Yeah.
And then over time, I was able to do it, put it out there, and I got some really good feedback over time. So I'm proud of that piece of my work.
Absolutely. Well, it ties into how much the words impact how we feel. And as you said, whether you're listening to a story, someone's telling you a story, or even you're watching a movie, you know, you're in a trance, let's say, and you're following the story and your body is reacting to that story. So I'm just trying to be able to bridge, because I feel that the work that you do with your storytelling, but at the same time, you have like a therapy involved in that.
Okay. For the audience, the storytelling is multiple stories. Starts out with a single story. Person with a problem meets a magical character or unusual situation, and then there's a pause. This is usually 7-8 minutes in, and then two different stories start up simultaneously, and messages are woven into the fabric of the dual storytelling. Mm-hmm. Right? To give you an idea of how it can work, early on while I was doing this, a friend of mine who was doing personal development workshops using all the devices that were beginning to be used back in the 80s, people, and he wrote a book on it and all stuff. And so he had a nice following. He asked me if I wanted to come and have people listen to one of my audio programs as part of his lecture that day, as part of the experience. So yeah, absolutely. So I brought something and everybody listened to a program, and assertively lasted about 28, 30 minutes. And then he asked the participants, did they have any comments about what they were experiencing? And people talked about how it was relaxing and enjoyable, and they don't know exactly what is happening other than they enjoyed the experience. Until one woman, she was very relaxed and she really appreciated that. And then she paused and said, this is the first time I have ever spoken in a group in my entire life. It was like 35 years old and never in a group was able to have the courage to participate. And she did it without knowing that she did it. And one of the messages obviously was focused on that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to myself, oh, okay, maybe I'm onto something here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And that's the change for her, that shift, being able to do that. Once you figure out that you can do this and make this or speak in front of a group, then when that's been your life thing that you don't do and you identify with, and that's what other people do and not you, whether that's speaking in public, whether that's, you know, looking after your health, whether that's, I don't know, working in business or whatever it is, if something happens which triggers that change, it transforms lives.
That's the perfect thing about the brain is so incredible to be able to take a few words that were heard and change a feeling behavioral program that had been operating for decades in her life, which goes to show how powerful our brains are. And we need to be able to utilize them and have things available to us that can stimulate us in ways that can get us in touch with the best of who we are. Because everybody can do better than who they are. No, there's no question about that. So why not?
Life is growth. Absolutely. I 100% agree with that.
And it never stops. That's what life is. What do I do now? And you can, like I said, we've been talking about people don't understand what they're capable of. I can tell you from my own experience, because I grew up in my own head for decades thinking I was just an average kind of person who had no talents whatsoever. So I bumped into myself along the way.
Yeah. And now you've created something absolutely worth talking about and sharing. I want to give it a name because you call it hypno-peripheral processing.
Hypno-peripheral processing. Yeah. Hypno, obviously, part of hypnosis. Peripheral meaning you're processing information at the edges of awareness. It's at your periphery. And processing is processing. And it uses the multiple storytelling technique. And it's built on a series of suggestions woven into the fabric of some entertaining stories. So the whole idea is to get you out of the way so you're not paying any attention and let that unconscious part of you listen in its own unique way, as I spoke to later, because your brain is that powerful, is that creative, is that useful. So let your brain do what it's capable of, and it's amazing what can happen.
You said something interesting. You need to get out of the way. I find myself, and I'm learning this actually, I'm in my own way, or perhaps I'm not in my own way, but my ego is in my own way, or fear, hypno-peripheral processing, HPP for short, or even just the work that you do in general. Can it work not just in the moment when you're listening to the audio or experiencing therapy from you, but does it unpack and perhaps rewire or rewrite the old ways in which we were thinking about ourselves? Because that we hold on to those identities. And that will carry, that's often what I find gets in my own way, is like this old version of myself is just stepping in and saying, nah, I don't know if you can actually do that.
Your point is well taken. There are no straight lines. You'll get these bits and pieces of things that are happening that are changing. And by the way, that can be disconcerting. Like, oh my goodness, I actually did that. It can almost scare you. Like, who is this person? Yeah. And then there'll be a little bit of a pullback. Right. But the whole idea is you begin to appreciate yourself a little bit more. And again, a little bit of a pullback, but you do enough so that there is an evolutionary thing going. We were meant to evolve in spurts. Like, I think evolution, as we know it, everybody used to think slow and gradual when there's a lot of change that goes on. That's what life's about. So we're looking for things that will help us get those moments. And we don't need to have a lot of magical moments, enough. Life is about just enough. So be prepared. And when you want to do something, okay, hopefully people listening right now, it'll help them in general get into a better frame of mind and realize they really are capable of. Self is evolutionary.
You're going to feel the change, then you might feel drawbacks, and that's normal. And that's part of the process. Absolutely. So I just trust the process, but then it's a spurt again.
Yeah, you need to have a certain amount of disappointment from time to time to keep, you want to struggle a little bit. You want adversity. Adversity, not all the time, obviously, but enough to challenge you. And then with the skills that you are finding out about yourself, you adapt to that and handle it, then you're even better. That's like, wow, I never thought I could do something like that. Everybody can have one of those moments. I'm sure everybody who's listening to this has been evaluating their own life as you and I have been talking. How could you not? Right? So feel free to continue to evaluate yourself and make that next change.
Yeah.
And that didn't cost you anything for that hypnotic suggestion.
And when we make our change in our life, well, I love actually, you know, holistic health and self-development, self-growth is when you make positive changes in your own life, then, you know, at work, things get better. In the family, things get better. Friendships, relationships.
It's like a personal positive contagion, right? It just leads into other things. And once it starts, right, why would it stop, right? People are entitled to have these moments, to feel that. And hopefully, as part of this, they learn to take care of themselves. You didn't have anything else until everything started to change. But the odd thing about today is, given how much we know, how is it that things are much worse than they ever were? We have all this information, and yet look at the cultural lifestyle. Catastrophic.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
When you have to label being seriously overweight a disease, you know the culture has a problem.
And right? The amount of also mental, the big scope of mental health. Now, that's the thing. Nutrition, check. Everyone's sleeping. Everyone's taking their supplements, doing ice baths, like all of these external things. But the internal things that you've talked about, that doesn't seem like it's had these leaps and bounds in research and, you know.
Isn't it amazing? We were born with, right? The intelligence we were born with as a that sensory-based intelligence as an infant, right? It was our foundational intelligence, right? Eating, sleeping, sensation was cognition, or is cognition for children. That's all they have, right? Do they oversleep, overeat, not move around when they need to move around? Of course not. They know how to do this, but we systematically untrain ourselves to not pay any attention to our sensory-based information that has to do with lifestyle. It's incredible. How do we do that? Well, families have a great way to transform what you're thinking and doing. We will teach you how to eat in not a good way, because that's what our family does. They're starving kids in Africa. I can't begin to tell you that kind of the idiocy that people my age used to listen to. And of course, now my mom was this wonderful woman, but she was a housewife. So I would come home from school and she wanted me to eat something to make her feel good. So she was doing her job. So how did I? Well, I didn't know any better. So I was trying to figure out how to lose that 30 extra pounds I had in high school, not knowing that it was the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah. I mean, but the easiest thing to do, but actually to heal and to address what.
And have your environment allow it to happen. Right? You watch little kids model what their parents do.
Yeah.
And they don't know they're doing it. And nobody knows that there is this family trance going on where we're teaching you how to become dysfunctional with that.
And they don't know that they also just learned that from their family. It's all just inherited, really.
It's the family trance. And by the time you're an adult, you never know where it's coming from My mom, when I decided that I was going to become healthy as an adult, right, she got angry at me. I wasn't eating her food anymore. I mean, literally. And my mom never got angry at me. Like, I can remember only maybe twice in the entire time. She was this wonderful, wonderful woman. But I had taken away her identity by not eating what she used to cook anymore. And it wrecked her head. But I was not going to allow her to wreck my life anymore. This was going to be the new way.
You use the word assertiveness. I guess I usually say awareness when I think of stuff like what you're saying, but I like the word assertiveness because it's a bit more proactive. I feel like being aware of things is like you kind of sit back and you can just observe, but being assertive to a specific thing, it means you have like laser focus on that one thing. So I quite like your use of words there.
Yeah, that's what I try to convey to people in the lifestyle intelligence. Within lifestyle intelligence concept was there's information you need, there are behaviors you need to learn, and you need to systematically do these things. And you're going to get feedback from your environment, right? If you have a bunch of friends and everybody's basically doing the same stuff and everybody shouldn't be doing that, and you decide to make a change, that family of friends, they're not going to be happy.
They're not going to like
that. Oh, no. Why? You're not eating that anymore? What? But yeah. Be careful. Don't lose too much weight. You can get sick.
Yeah. You don't drink alcohol? What? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, come on. It's party time. It's Friday night. What's wrong? Yeah. All of that stuff. There's so many subtleties that you have to deal with when you decide to make changes in your life that people will notice and they're not doing. Nobody wants to be left behind, and we're all more alike than we are different. Mm. Same emotions, sensations, perceptions. So we're all alike.
Yeah. It's a beautiful reminder. It is a really nice reminder because I feel the world is so divided. We all are very similar and all have the power to make profound change in our life. Tell us a bit more. So LQ is something that it's an app that you've created.
Yes.
Can you tell us more about it?
With this concept in mind.
Yeah, let's go there.
It was like lifestyle intelligence is the foundational intelligence. It's what we start with. If we allow that to flourish when we're younger, we're not talking about these other kinds of things that are problematic, right? But what happens when you don't care of yourself, take care of yourself? You put sleep in early on. Sleep's it. Single most important thing we do. Right? Because if we don't get enough sleep, everything becomes dysfunctional. Emotionally, what happens? We get really irritable, right? Mm-hmm. What else happens? We don't think clearly, right? Right. And the other thing that's critically important that people don't pay enough attention to is that sleep deprivation amps.
I was going to say, yeah, sugar craving. That was the one thing.
You hypnotize yourself into thinking you're hungry. The brain does that. The brain says, oh, all right. Again, lack of sleep. Okay, we got to do it again. We got to hypnotize him or her. So the brain convinces you you're hungry. You eat more food. If you're chronically sleep deprived, you're chronically overeating. And this is not the kind of thing where you can diet that away. You need to behavioral it away. You need to get enough sleep so that you're okay with that. Then your mood's okay because it also wrecks mood, irritability. People think, like, we all know what happens. You don't want to be around somebody who's sleep deprived. They're angry all the time. So everything that could go wrong goes wrong if you're sleep deprived. Hence, sleep is at the pinnacle of importance for all of us. And people think, yeah, it's the time when we do nothing. If you knew exactly what sleep did, you go, oh my God, it does all of that. When we're asleep, the brain cleans itself. Cerebrospinal fluid pours into the brain, a dishwasher thing starts happening, and all the gunk from the day gets removed. Now think about that for a second, because the first thing you think about is, if that's like not changing the oil with your car, right? And what happens? Your car breaks down. If that doesn't grab your attention, what will? Mm-hmm. Sleep deprivation, clog, gunk, because that, the first thing that pops into your head with brain getting gunked up, if the word Alzheimer's doesn't show up, something's wrong.
Yeah, that doesn't scare you enough.
Day after day, week after month, after year, you do that. All right. This, what I just said, if people remember one thing from this, it should be that. That should be at the top of what I have said that should take root in your mind. No pun intended. Hello. This is brain time. Everything is about, if you learn how to take care of your brain, everything falls into place. Hence, sleep. Are we clear, folks?
Right. So how does that?
Not right at this moment. Hang around for the end of this.
If you're driving a car, do not fall asleep. But how does your app help facilitate people in this way?
Okay, the first part is meant for the state of consciousness that the people are in right now. The sorts of things that we have been talking about. I give you 3-minute sound bites every day, and there's hundreds of them I have. Recorded 200 to 300 of them. Those 3 minutes will take one piece of lifestyle that's important, and I elaborate on it. And I keep coming at the same thing in different ways, so it's not boring. All right, 3 minutes every day. The reason why 3 minutes is because we live in a time when holding people's attention for 3 minutes is not easy.
Yeah.
Because everybody is so
fast-paced, busy, stressed.
We're looking at our phones
30 seconds.
You might even be listening to one of my pieces while simultaneously reading a text message on your phone. So every day, those are the 3 minutes talking to the logical learning part of your mind and brain. So repetition and then reinforcement. Repetition meaning I'll tell you different variations on the theme so you'll get it. Reinforcement means I'll keep on telling you that as you've been listening, you should really feel proud of yourself if you've begun. So making you feel good about what's happening, because if you're listening for a while, I'm going to make you feel good because you're going to be doing good stuff for yourself. The other part of it is the audio technology, the hypno-peripheral stuff, which does two things. One, it gets you into a really relaxed state. Right. And it does that by the overload. You hear two stories simultaneously. They're told really slowly. Mm-hmm. I had somebody compose some music for what I do, and it was this brilliant piece of music. And the first time I heard it, I could not believe it was this good. And I said, wow, did I look out? It's wonderful relaxation music. So that we all know we should be doing something like meditation or yoga, right? Mm-hmm. But some people, like myself, I don't want to do that. So this will get you into that relaxed state without you having to learn anything. So I take the worry out of your hands. So you get the information in the 3 minute pieces, the reinforcement there. You get the relaxation part. Mm-hmm. And the one other thing that this is really interesting that people should know about, and that is that in between waking and sleep mode, that hypnagogic state that everybody has experienced from time to time, but for very short periods of time. Like you go, wow, what's that strange imagery I'm experiencing right before I'm now asleep? Keep people in that hypnagogic state, but you think you're asleep. That state happens to be the state where we're most receptive. So all of those messages are heard by a part of you, like that woman in that group who became assertive. She had no idea the message that she heard impacted that. That was done completely outside of her awareness. So the whole idea is to utilize all the states of consciousness that you're capable of so that you can begin to do things the way you're really capable of doing them and be the best representation of yourself. That's the best we can hope for. Be the best of who we are. And everybody's capable of doing more.
Yeah,
we all know that. So these two, everything kind of flows together nicely. Lifestyle intelligence, to my mind, as we talked about, is the foundational intelligence we were born with. It makes your EQ more effective, because if you get relaxed, you manage your stress and you get enough sleep, you can function much more effectively, and cognition is likewise.
Yeah. I mean, it's that relaxation that we all need, perhaps don't get, even if we're searching for it. Relaxing the nervous system, first coming down, and then at the same time, rewiring neural pathways, telling new stories, or perhaps that positive reinforcement, I guess you can also say, which is then also building in that restorative state instead of being stressed and also then at the same time being like, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, which is just perpetuating that negative state. It sounds like what you offer is just the complete opposite to that.
You said that perfectly. That's exactly correct. People don't appreciate themselves. So this will help in that.
Yeah. I think sometimes when you hear stuff like this, it's like, that's too good to be true. That's going to work for other people and not me. And I think that is often our self getting in the way of ourselves.
One thing I know for sure, regardless of how you evaluate it, you will not have heard this kind of thing set up this way before. Right. Yeah. So it will at least be a unique experience for you, even if you just say, no, not for me, and you jump the thing.
where can we find more about you, more about your app?
LifestyleIntelligenceLQ.com, or one word. That's the website. That's me talking a little bit more about the way everything is structured. If people are interested in it, you can do a 2-week evaluation and see if you like it or not. So this way people don't have to spend any money before.
Beautiful.
I like this, what I did, and I hope obviously that others will too.
Absolutely. As you said, experience a change, and in 2 weeks is a long time practicing something and assertively working on it. That would definitely get the ball rolling. If you had a billboard in Times Square and you could put something on that, what would you put on this billboard?
Sleep more, right? This is the most important thing you need to do in your life. We want to remind you of doing.
Thank you so much for being here and share what you do. Your work is, it's profound. And I'm so happy to have had you on the show to talk about this because it's something that I also very much stand behind. I align with so much of what you said, from the mind to how we should work and live and see ourselves. So thank you.
Oh, I've appreciated the opportunity to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. You could have been listening to anything, but you're here interested in reclaiming your health. I hope you found the episode useful and constructive. If you enjoyed it and would like to show support for the show, please leave a review, as this makes my content more discoverable for other people to enjoy and learn from. Please also consider subscribing to the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy listening. Finally, the best way to show support for the show is by sharing it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Thanks for listening. Be well, and I'll catch you next time.